Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A stranger pulls his car alongside a child. Child just walking down the street, and the stranger says to them, "Hey kid, do you want some candy?" We all know what the child should say, right? "No, my mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, aunt, uncle, whoever told me not to talk to strangers, and certainly not to take candy from them." And then what should they do? But they should run home as fast as they possibly can, or maybe to a police station, or maybe somewhere else safe. You see, candy is the perfect bait for children. Why? Because they want it. They think candy is the best thing in the world. And so it easily entices children to do something they really ought not do. What someone desires most will cloud their judgment. Now, when kids grow up and become adults, they like to think they've learned enough to know better. But do they really? We'll make it back to this in a moment. But for now, let's turn our eyes to the gospel lesson. You see, in our gospel text for today, Jesus casts a legion of demons out of a man. Practically speaking, a legion in ancient Rome was somewhere between 3,000 and 6,000 soldiers. See, Jesus shows his power over all demons as he can even go toe-to-toe with somewhere probably between 3,000 and 6,000. But first, what can we learn from this text? What can we learn about demons? First, they know who Jesus is entirely. When this demon-possessed man saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him and said with a loud voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." You see, the demons know exactly who Jesus is. They're intimately aware that he is part of the Trinity, that he is part of the Most High God. He rightfully belongs in heaven. You see, these demons know that it was even Jesus who took part in creating them. That Jesus took part in making demons in this world. Granted, at that point, they weren't fallen. They were just angels. But angels who rebel are now called demons. Not only do they know who he is, but they know what sort of power that he has. He has the power to torment them. The power to throw them into hell, which is a place that even the demons would like to avoid. They recognize that they are utterly powerless against God himself. They know they can't do anything to attack God directly. So what do they have to do? They have to attack what God loves most. That's people. The crown jewel of his creation were Adam and Eve. The thing that God loves most is you. You see, the demon attacks this man in several ways. For a long time, he had worn no clothes, and he had not lived in a house, but among the tombstones. You might remember in the Garden of Eden, right? After Adam and Eve sin, what is the first thing that God does for them? He makes them clothing to cover up their nakedness, to cover up their shame. And so here, Satan and his demons are attacking the good physical gifts that God has given. Clothing, shoes, food, drink, house, home. If it's a good gift from God, then you can be sure that Satan does not want you to have it. That the demons will fight tooth and nail to make sure you don't get it. What's more, but this man, he's driven into the desert, into isolated places by himself. You might also remember in the garden, this is before sin entered the world, God said, It is not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Satan and his demons, they attack community. Your community might look different in different parts of your life. It might be within a marriage. It might be within a family. It might be within a city. It might even be in a church. God has given us good gifts in community. And so you can be sure that Satan does not want you to have a good and God-pleasing community. Since Satan and his demons are masters of deception, you can be sure that they are still deceiving people even today. Now, I've been mentioning Adam and Eve. We all know they were tempted by the fruit of a tree. You're not going to be tempted by the fruit of a tree. It's just not what Satan does. Why? Because it's not part of our culture. Instead, what Satan does is he tailor makes his lies, he tailor makes his deceptions to fit our culture. In fact, he tailor makes them to fit your personal life. For instance, let's think about it, right? He tries to deceive us into choosing maybe science or faith. We hear that in our society all the time, don't we? Which will it be? It's a lie. There are two things that are absolutely not opposed to each other. There are two things that agree. If what the Bible says appears wrong according to science, it's not the Bible that's wrong, it's science that's wrong. Somehow the scientists didn't get it right. Because God never lies. Maybe the demons try to deceive you into trusting your logic more than trusting what God has actually placed in his word. Maybe Satan deceives you into following your heart rather than following what is written in the pages of Scripture. Especially in our world right now, Satan is deceiving many into believing that life does not start at conception, even though the Bible clearly tells us that life starts at conception. In our world, Satan is trying to deceive us into thinking that God does not condemn sin. Only what the Bible tells us is that God does condemn sin. Our world's trying to tell us that somehow each person has the right to choose their own gender. When really, the Bible tells us that God created them male and female. God chooses. Are Satan and his demons still spewing lies in the world? Absolutely. Do you know that? Maybe. Wait. Maybe? Yes, I said maybe. See, this is where our analogy from our opening comes back. The child with the stranger and the candy. So many people in our world see Satan offering that proverbial candy. And because they want the candy, because they so badly want the lie to be true, they convince themselves that the stranger doesn't look so strange. That maybe it's just a really nice guy who wants to give me some candy. They momentarily forget the words they heard from their heavenly Father. Resist the devil. We all know what children should do when approached by a stranger. They should say no and run as fast as you can. Instead, though, what do people in our world do? They eat the fruit. They believe the lie. They take the candy. They should know better, but they fall into the trap. This is a very tricky business, though, because demons don't always identify themselves as demons. They don't always identify themselves by making pigs run headlong into lakes. Sometimes they inhabit people who look respectable, people who look like they're upstanding people in our world. In fact, sometimes they inhabit people who are very nice and well-intentioned. that might inhabit someone who is your brother, or your sister, or your aunt, or your uncle, or your grandma, or your grandpa. They might inhabit your best friend. Think about Jesus. When Peter stood between Jesus and his cross and said, "Far be it from you, Lord, to die," Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." If they can inhabit Peter, they can inhabit anyone. My friends, don't think you're immune to Satan's attacks. He's crafty. He's smart. And to be honest, from the moment you are conceived, you are under his control. You have that sin of Adam and Eve past you. You are able to be deceived just as easily as they were in the garden. Even as a little tiny baby born into this world, you are a sinner. You're a slave to sin. And to be honest, that sin makes you powerless. You are powerless against Satan's attacks. You can do nothing. But that's the best part, is you don't have to. You see, there is one person who can go toe-to-toe with the demons. One person who can go toe-to-toe with Satan himself, who can square off in the ring and actually win. His name is Jesus. We just saw it in our text. We just heard all about it. Jesus versus a legion of demons. Who comes out victorious? Jesus does. The demons have no power. This isn't the only text that shows us that either. We all remember after Jesus is baptized, how the Holy Spirit drives him into the wilderness, and Satan himself tempts Jesus for 40 days in the wilderness. The prince of lies. And what does Jesus do? He defeats him. He utterly destroys him. He comes out of his wilderness wanderings victorious, having resisted every single temptation. This Jesus, he lives a perfect life for you, and then he lays down that life on a cross. That's how Jesus wins. He bleeds and dies for the whole world. Even death itself can't even stop Jesus. You see, the cross, by all appearances, it looks like Satan has finally defeated God. Jesus is dead. He's in a tomb. But 3 days later, you find out that death cannot even stop Jesus, because he rises victorious. Jesus declares victory over sin and death and Satan and demons and all manner of lies. Jesus exposes the demons. He gets rid of them. And in doing so, he restores. And restoring this man, he gives him his life back. He's allowed to be part of the community again. He wears clothes. He can go back to his house. And so when you hear of Jesus, when you are forgiven by your Savior, you become that child of God. He clothes you in the waters of baptism, clothes you with his own righteousness. He places you into the house of God. He allows you to be part of this community of faith that we live in. You see, before in our text, this man who had been wandering around, he was crazy. He was naked. He was running around. Everybody knew he was the demon-possessed man. And Jesus restores him just as well as he restores you. You are a child of God. And Jesus himself declares you forgiven. He takes you, literally steals you from Satan's kingdom, and places you squarely into his own. What do you find here? Look around you. There are plenty of folks here who are fighting the same fight of faith that you are. plenty of folks even gathered in this church who are tempted in all the same ways we are by that proverbial candy that Satan always likes to dangle. And it is here that you have the truth reinforced. It is here that your Heavenly Father reminds you, don't take candy from Satan. Don't take candy from strangers. Resist the devil. Rest in the shadow of the cross. Live in the crucified and risen Jesus Christ. See, just like this man, every Christian, including you, has received this wonderful gift. Maybe you had never been demon possessed, but yet surely in your soul you have received Jesus. Jesus has fought Satan and won for you. He's defeated. He's done. Because Jesus has been crucified and risen for you. But there's one part of our text we haven't talked about yet. The very last few verses. At the end, this man desperately wants to follow Jesus. But Jesus needs him for another purpose. Sure, you know, he received his instructions. He sat at Jesus' feet. But then Jesus tells him these words. And they're words for you as well. Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. As far and as wide as your personal influence reaches, you are sent from this place to be God's missionary. To tell others about the wonderful things that God has done for you, how Jesus has died for you, how Jesus has risen for you, how Jesus has ascended for you, and yes, how Jesus defeats sin, Satan, and even all demons for you. Thanks be to God. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.